This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Brian Fernandez. And on the line, we have Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank in Singapore.
Good morning, Vishnu. The VIX Volatility Index is at its highest in 5 months, and there are increasing views that markets are due for a major correction. Do you share this view?
I mean, we are of the view that markets are very stretched. So valuations have become very rich. That's to say, stock prices have kept on rising unabated. And that is the cause of the worry, the fact that it has continued on a one-way street. So some correction is certainly due. And I think the VIX, as you rightly pointed out, reflects the rise in uncertainty about the direction of the stock market and whether it will last. But the real question is one of the size of the correction. Will this be a major correction that leads to an extended downside of, say, 10 to 15%, or is it going to be a breather in what we've seen as a more or less a bullish market? So that, I think, remains the uncertainty, and maybe that's why VIX has risen so quickly as well. But as we noticed from just the overnight trades, things have stabilized somewhat, and the VIX has also backed out a little bit. Our suspicion is that the VIX uncertainty and the correction in the stock markets could become a lot more intense as policy, global central bank policy uncertainty increases. And we see these risks becoming a lot more saturated into the middle and the third quarter of this year.
Now, given that scenario, we've got a flattening of U.S. Treasury yield curves. That's raised a lot of concerns among investors because historically, such a flattening has always preceded a slowdown. Now, do you share this view as well?
Well, we certainly recognize the view, but we don't necessarily share the view or the same worries because of the difference in the backdrop against which we are coming off. I mean, to put simply, the yield curve flattening just means that the longer duration bonds, the difference between the yields on them and the yield on shorter dated bonds are not as accentuated. So that's to say your 10-year yields are fairly low compared to your 2-year yields. Historically, whenever there's a flattening with the long end going down a lot faster, that has been due to falling confidence and coinciding with that falling inflation expectations. But we started off with the yield curve being pretty flat because inflation has been very, very soft to begin with, but business confidence and economic confidence has been rising. So the backdrop is a bit different. And also we bear in mind that this has been unprecedented quantitative easing. Central banks have been buying bonds for the last few years, which was a main cause for the flattening in the yield curve. So we are coming from a very different place. And so this time around, we are not as concerned that this is a harbinger of recession. Rather, we think this is a part of the correction mechanism. And what we are looking for is for the yield curve to steepen once central banks like the ECB stop buying bonds.
And so you see that this positive U.S. growth story will continue?
Well, we think by and large, most of the growth momentum remains in place, and this is perfect timing as well. So yesterday there was the Federal Reserve meeting, the FOMC, and they have gone on to, in their statement, I think slightly strengthen their view on growth by saying that growth across a spectrum of measures from the labor market to business confidence and spending has remained solid. We also see this coming through. What we do, however, note are headline risks, and event risks such as trade protectionism if Trump drums that up. We also see some geopolitical risks emanating from things like North Korea, though that has diminished at the margin over the Winter Olympics warmth between the two Koreas. So there are other headline risks, including in the financial markets, but the growth and the main economy, the main street, so to speak, that remains fairly resilient.
Now, you just mentioned about potential risk in the financial markets. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure. I mean, this is related to the point we were speaking about earlier with the VIX index rising because you've seen equity markets on an unabated bullish rally. So this is in some way related to the fact that the Fed is now beginning to shrink its balance sheet, so it's withdrawing liquidity. The ECB might start doing that as well. So, you know, our risk for us is that as interest rates start rising slowly, and more importantly, as global central banks withdraw liquidity from a global system, asset markets could start to wobble a little bit. And if that leads to a domino effect of falling asset prices across the curve and you know, funds being pulled out of risky assets, that kind of financial shock is what we're worried about. At the margin, though, or at least for now, I think central banks are wary of these risks. So the way they withdraw liquidity may be rather gradual and calibrated. So that's the silver lining on the risks ahead.
Vishnu, I'd like your insights on a couple of Asia-Pacific market economies. Now, Japan was the surprise of 2017. Now, what is your view on the Japan growth story? Will that continue in 2018?
Well, we think, you know, overall Japan's growth story would be supported by a few factors. One is exports has come through quite nicely for Japan, and the manufacturing recovery has also, you know, taken shape alongside that. We're also watching out for how PM Abe is able to push firms to give or provide higher wage increments to see some of that optimism flow into households and getting you know, families and individuals spending money as well. So those things should support. And ahead of 2020 Olympics, we also see some of the construction and investment momentum giving a little bit of support to Japan. But our caution, or at least one thing that we are wary of and mindful of, is when the next VAT hike comes along, whether that's going to dent consumer sentiments. But given the experience of the last hike, we think there will be a sufficient backstops and cushion provided from the fiscal stimulus to allow Japan to navigate that little bump on the road. And we think for now, for the next 1 to 2 years, growth will remain mainly supportive. And what helps is that the BOJ has not indicated that they are going to tighten policy, and the BOJ rightly recognizes that they still need to keep policies very accommodative.
Now, what's your view on the Malaysian growth story? Is that performance set to continue in your view?
For 2018, you know, we think Malaysia is on a very strong footing for a few reasons. One, obviously, with oil prices up substantially, you know, almost 50% up since Trump's election in November 2016. We see that momentum filtering down into the ONG sector, more widely into the fiscal space, allowing for a lot more room to support the economy. But more importantly, even outside of the oil and gas sector, overall firmer commodity prices and the lift in global exports means that non-oil-related manufacturing in Malaysia has also done better. And with the election spending anticipated to pick up and households feeling you know, a little better off, we think overall the momentum will continue. The warning signals for us, though, would be you know, the fact that household debts are still rather high. And if inflation picks up too quickly, that would erode whatever boost that households feel. So these are things that we're watching out for. But overall, we remain rather positive on growth being buoyant, but perhaps it will not accelerate very strongly either, given some of the nascent build-up on the cost side pressures.
Thanks for your insights, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy, Mizuho Bank from Singapore.
And we'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.